Okay, so hello everybody. Here we go. Some more people coming on the Zoom. Let me just let them in. All right, so what I wanted to do is just to review a short review of what we covered last week in our introduction to the Shmona Esrei, to the silent prayer, the focal point of our daily tefillah. We'll do a review and then we'll start discussing how we get ourselves prepared for Shmona Esrei in particular. So the last week we had mentioned from the Kuzari, really an incredible statement where the Kuzari writes that everything in our life that has happened to us was really all a buildup to the tefillah we find ourselves that we have that we find is in front of us right now, and then everything that is going to take place after my life, after the Shmona Esrei in my lifetime, is going to be affected by the Shmona Esrei right now, which is an amazing thing to consider and contemplate before a person walks into their tefillah, which is that it was all leading up to this, and everything's going to be impacted by this, which is just an incredible thought, which is not even such an extreme statement the Kuzari is making. It makes sense. It makes sense, if we believe in the power of tefillah, we believe that Hashem listens to our tefillah. So then, it makes sense that everything in my life is had led up to this particular prayer I'm about to this time I'm about to have with Hashem, and that everything's going to be affected by this tefillah right now. But we have to really believe it within ourselves, like we mentioned from Eliashiv that. A lot of time, the reason why people have a hard time getting to shul is because they don't even realize how significant our tefillos are. We mentioned that that's why we point out from the Gemara, the Amoraim, when they would come home from traveling, they would go up to 3 days without davening, says the Gemara in Eirvin on Samach Hay, because they needed time to refocus themselves. And because they really understood how to have proper kavana. So when we say kavana, what did we mean? So we pointed out two things. This is from the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Aleph, where the Shulchan Aruch writes that there's two aspects of kavana. Number one is omed lifnei hamelech, understanding your knowing you're standing in front of the king, that you are having this vulnerable, intimate time with Hashem. And it's supposed to be something personal. It's supposed to be something real that you're supposed to have, like we said from the Gemara, this Rachmana Libabe, but pouring out one's heart to Hashem. And then there's the second aspect of Kavana, which is understanding the words of the Siddur, of Perish Hamilos, understanding the words of the Siddur. We explained why that's so important from Reb Chaim V'Loshner, that if you look at the Gemara in Megillah on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara describes in, that the authors of the Shmona Esrei, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, were 120 of the greatest Zakenim, the greatest sages of the time. Umehem Kam Nevi'im, and there were even prophets among them, meaning that they had Ruach HaKodesh. They had divine understanding of how to connect with Hashem using these particular words. So understanding the words themselves will give us the ability to have a streamlined connection with Hashem that we wouldn't be able to without understanding the words of the Shmona Esrei. So it's both of these concepts. It's really having this personal time with God, and at the same time being able to utilize the words of the Siddur, understanding the words of the Siddur in order to be able to accomplish that. So it's really it goes in both directions. We had mentioned also, which we didn't really delve into explaining, which I want to do now, the Shulchan Aruch, where the Shulchan Aruch writes that Hamaspalo, when one davens, Sarach Shiachavim b'chol habrachos, you need to have kavanah for the entire Shmona Esrei. V'me'enu yachol b'chulam, but if you're unable to have kavanah for all of the blessings of Shmona Esrei, then at the bare minimum, lefachot, the bare minimum, you should have kavanah yachavim be'avos during the first blessing of the Shmona Esrei. Which the first blessing of the Shmona Esrei describes how our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, each had Each represented another aspect of something that they had learned from Hashem, where Avram represented Chesed, the kindness of Hashem, and that is what Avram Avinu represented and manifested in this world, that aspect of Hashem. Yitzchak represented Hashem's Gevura, the might of Hashem, in his being Moser Nefesh, and in his self-sacrifice. And Yaakov Avinu represents Hashem's MS, Chos Mishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu MS, that's the signet of God, is a truth. That's what Hashem is. He's all in all truth. And that is what was represented by Yaakov Avinu. And that's the main theme of the first paragraph of Shmoneh Esrei. So if one is not going to be able to understand every single word of the entire Shmoneh Esrei, at the bare minimum, have the proper kavana for the first part of Shmoneh Esrei. We pointed out that we pointed out from the Chafetz Chaim that somebody said to the Chafetz Chaim, okay, but if I didn't have proper Gavana for the first part of Shmoneh Esrei, which the Gemara says that if you don't, you don't fulfill your obligation of davening, if you don't have proper concentration and proper intention during that first paragraph of Shmoneh Esrei. And and that's reflected in the Shulchan Aruch also. So if that's the case, I daven Shmoneh Esrei, I'm halfway through, I realize I didn't have proper Gavana for the first part of Shmoneh Esrei, for that first blessing. So I should just stop and not daven the rest. So the Chafetz Chaim gave us this mashal that explained to us why we should keep going. He said with a mashal that someone that's running a shop, if they try and run after the apple thief, if he takes one of his apples, he's going to lose all the rest of his apples. People are going to take the rest. Rather, he should hold on to what he has and try and utilize the apples that he still has remaining to make a good profit that day. Says the Chafetz Chaim, that's the same thing for our Shmoneh Esrei. We might have lost out on that initial part of Shmoneh Esrei. It doesn't mean that we can't refocus ourselves, recenter ourselves to be able to get the most out of Shmoneh Esrei. But the question we did not address, at least we didn't address it in enough detail, is why particularly Avos? Why particularly that first part of Shmoneh Esrei is the bracha that I need to have the most concentration for? One could have argued that the first part of Shmoneh Esrei is actually perhaps less significant than other parts of Shmoneh Esrei. What do I mean? There's three parts of every tefillah. Every single tefillah, there are three parts to it. The first part is shevach, is praise, that we give praise to Hashem. The middle part is bakasha, that's requests of Hashem, and there's many Gemaras that indicate the fact that that's the most significant part of Shmoneh Esrei, that really the praise was just leading up to the Shevach, to being able to, was leading up to the Bakashos, was leading up to when we ask of requests. And then the last part of Shmoneh Esrei is Hodah, giving thanks to Hashem, as the bookend. One could have argued that the first part of Shmoneh Esrei is perhaps less significant. In fact, the Gemara tells us that what's the whole purpose of the first part of Shmoneh Esrei? The Gemara tells us that first, Yisader Adam Shvacho Lefnei HaMakom, that a person first needs to, out of a form of Derech Eretz, give praise to Hashem before you start asking for all your requests. But that tells me that really the most important part of Shmoneh Esrei is that middle part. The requests we're going to have and the first part of asking, of giving Hashem praise, is really just a form of Derech Eretz. So then why is it then that first part of Shmoneh Esrei is not only significant, of course, it's significant, it's part of the Shmoneh Esrei, but it's the most significant part. It's the only part of Shmoneh Esrei where my concentration actually will matter in my fulfillment of the mitzvah. That if I didn't have proper intention during that first part of Shmoneh Esrei, then it's like I didn't daven. Why? Why particularly the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei? So if we take a look at the Gemara in Megillah on Daf Yud Zayin actually explains what each bracha of the Shmoneh Esrei is about. So we're going to be referencing back to the to this Gemara a number of times. So before we just read, we said Tefillah Minalan, Megillah Daf Yud Zayin Amabez. The Gemara says, where did we get the text of our Siddur? So the Gemara explains about the Anshe Knesset HaGedola, Me'eva Esrim Zakenim. There were 120 of the great sages, Mehem Kama Neviim, along with prophets. Tiknu Shmona Se Brachos HaLaseder. They set the 18 blessings in the particular order that it's in. Tanu Rabbanan. The rabbis continue and explain. Minayin She'omrim Avos. How do we know that we're supposed to where does this bracha of avos, of giving praise to Hashem through our forefathers, and what they represented from Hashem come from? Says the Gemara, Shana'amar, it's from the pasuk that we say every Friday night as part of Kabbalah Shabbos, where we quote from David HaMelech, Havu LaHashem B'nei Elim. That what is brought before Hashem are the B'nei Elim, the people that were in this world that were the most powerful people. Who were the most powerful people that were ever in this world? Those were the Avos. Those were our forefathers. What made them the most powerful people? Says Rashi, Hiskiru lefanav es ilei ha'aretz. We're going to bring before you the remembrance of the most powerful people. What made them so powerful? So explains Reb Chaim Freelander. Reb Chaim Freelander was the mashkiach of the Panovich Yeshiva. He was the successor for Rav Dessler. He was a student of Rav Eliyahu Dessler, an amazing thinker of the previous generation, one of the shapers of the Bnei Brak community, Reb Chaim Freelander. So Reb Chaim Freelander, Zatzal writes in his Sefer Sifsei Chaim, he says, he explains the following. He explains Chazal Karu Lebracha Rishona Shel Shmona Esrei Berchas Avos, that our rabbis instituted the first paragraph of Shmona Esrei pattern after what our forefathers represented about God. L'chora bracha einem medaberes al gadlus ha'avos. But the bracha is not about the forefathers. It's not about Avram. It's not about Yitzhak. It's not about Yaakov. El al Elokei ha'avos. It's about Hashem, who they related to. Hateshuva he. So in order to understand why this bracha is so important, that the level that was achieved by each of the forefathers, we can learn from what they did how great Hashem is. Because how did they learn to become the people that they were? They modeled themselves after Hashem. Ki Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, for example, Sheitzdayin Bechesed, he was the representative of Chesed, of kindness. Lamad Zos Mimalas HaChesed Shel Hashem Yisparach. He learned this from Hashem. Umekach Anu Lameidim is Godel Chasdei Hashem Yisparach Ba'an Hagos Habriya. And through Avram Avinu, the model of Chesed, really what we're trying to understand is how the Chesed Hashem is manifested in this world. That is what Avram Avinu did. Yitzchak Mesiras Nefesh, he learned that gevura, that strength from the strongest of all, from Hashem. Va'ms and truth shel Yaakov Avinu from Hashem was learned from the characteristics of Hashem. So therefore, when we start our Shmona Esrei, we want to start by bringing out these aspects of God. Now, why is that so important to bring these particular aspects of God right at the beginning of our Shmona Esrei? Continues Rav Chaim Freelander, and he says, Tasher nesbone neida be'ezamida anu mechusarim utuluyim ach v'rach b'shefa hatov hanitan lanu ma'ashem yisbarach. That when we stop and contemplate these things, we know that everything comes from Hashem. Meaning all the chesed that we have in our life, all the good things we have in our life, as it all comes from Hashem. Hashem is the greatest Baal chesed of all. It's infinite just understanding Hashem's chesed, Hashem's kindness. Avram Avinu represented that in the way that a mortal can in the highest level, but he learned all that from Hashem. We're bringing up chesed right at the beginning of our Shmona Esrei in order so that when we go into the part of our Shmona Esrei, we begin asking for things, we're going into it with a perspective of Hashem can do anything. and will do anything for me. Gevura as well. Gevura of representing Hashem's strength, that we think that anything is beyond the capacity of Hashem. That if somebody's sick and we ask Hashem's help, Hashem could do anything. Hashem could do anything. That by emes, and we ask for Hashem to rebuild Yerushalayim, that we know that we're speaking to Hashem Yisbarach, who is just looking for truth to be brought to the world, right? It frames our entire Shemona Esrei when we're able to understand the midos of Hashem, when we're able to understand the way Hashem is. Continues Rav Chaim Freelander, and he writes, he says, Nimsha she'in anu mishabchim oso. We're not just coming to give praise of God, lo yisbarach shevach ulegado, in order to give him praise. That's not the point. Ela kedei she'anu ba'atzmenu, in order so that we can recognize nikar yoser gadluso, we can understand just how great Hashem is, v'yechalto, and understand what Hashem is capable of. And now, oh, through that prism, through that lens, through that vantage point, now we're able to ask for everything that we want to ask for. It's going to be even come from an even deeper place in our heart, because we've set the tone of what this interaction of God is supposed to be like, understanding who we're speaking to. We're speaking to the greatest Baal Chesed, the biggest gibor, the strongest, the most mighty. We're speaking to the one that represents emes. And therefore, we're able to have a deeper connection with Hashem. Hiskarvus laHashem Yisbarach, we're going to have an even closer connection to God. L'chein habracha rishona, that's why that first blessing of Shemona Esrei, hi ma'akeves b'tfila, that's why it is going to be the one that makes or breaks the davening. Because if we did the first bracha right, the rest of davening is going to be a real connection with Hashem. But if we never set the tone of Shemona Esrei, that first bracha is supposed to do for us, of understanding who it is that we're speaking in front of, so then the rest of Shemona Esrei is going to be reading the words, but it's not going to be having that vulnerable connection with Hashem, a connection that of an understanding of Hashem's capabilities and what Hashem is trying to do for us in this world. And that's why that first bracha Shemona Esrei is so significant. So I wanted to just wrap up that. That was something we didn't have a chance to get to last week, of understanding why it is that first bracha of Shemona Esrei is so important. I brought with me the Sefer Abu Dram. The Abu Dram is a... was written by Rabbeinu David Abu Draham. I believe he passed away in 1360s, early 1360s. He was a very close friend of the Tur, who was the son of the Rush. He was from Toledo, Spain. He has a running commentary on the Siddur. He goes through weekday davening and Shabbos davening and Yontif davening. It's a running commentary on the Siddur. It's about two volumes, and it's mixed between halacha of, you know, just basic, the basic laws of davening, and also an explanation of the tfilos and certain kavanos, intentionality we're supposed to have when we daven. And he writes, as a form of introduction, before davening, he asks an interesting halachic question where he says, why is there no bracha on davening? It's a mitzvah, right? We pointed out from the Rambam, which is the way that we assume, mitzvah ase lehispalo b'chol yom, the Rambam writes, it's a positive commandment to daven every day. We learn this from the, where we say in Shema, u'la'avdo b'chol levavchem, we have to serve Hashem as a commandment from the Torah, to serve Hashem b'chol levavchem with all your heart. And the Gemara comments in the beginning of Masechta Tainis, Ezuhu avodish b'lev, what is serving God with a heart? Zu tefila, that means davening. Davening is a positive commandment from the Torah. Every other mitzvah from the Torah, we make a bracha on, right? We eat matzah and shake lulav and wear tzitzis and tefillin, and when we separate challah, and all these have blessings associated with them because they're mitzvahs from the Torah. Why is there no bracha of Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kedishanu B'Mitzvosa V'Tzivanu Al HaTfila? Why is there no bracha on davening? So he answers as follows. He says, Mipnei, because Shatfila he mitzvah. Tfila is a mitzvah. She'ein la kitzva min haTorah, that has no structure from the Torah. Tfila is a mitzvah that has no structure. Now, what exactly does that mean? That tfila does not have a structure. We know that the rabbis gave structure to tfila. The rabbis gave us a specific transcript that you're supposed to have, a script you're supposed to use when davening. You have to get, if you skip any parts of that davening, you don't fulfill your mitzvah. That's what we just explained from Avos, right? We just explained about that first bracha of Shmona Esrei, how significant it is, and that if you don't have proper intentionality during it, you don't fulfill your mitzvah. I don't understand. If the Abu Duram is right, that the reason there's no bracha is because there's no technical structure of davening on a biblical level, then why didn't I fulfill my mitzvah? If I didn't understand the words of Avos, or if I didn't say the words of Avos and I just had in mind, you know, I thank you, Hashem, for everything. These are the things I want to ask for. We said you don't fulfill your mitzvah. If you don't have proper intentionality, you don't read the words properly, you don't fulfill your mitzvah. So I don't understand what's going on. Does it have structure or not? So the Abu Dram goes on to explain. He says that that this is just like Kemosha Kasev, HaRashba, this is what the Rashba explains, why there's no bracha for another mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? The mitzvah of the Haggadah. We don't kick off the Haggadah by saying, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Hashem, Yishanu Mitzvotav, Yisvanu, Lisaper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim. We don't have such a mitzvah, such a bracha that we make. But there's a mitzvah from the Torah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, of telling over the story of the Exodus, and we use the Haggadah to do that. Well, why is there no bracha particularly on that? So the Rashba explains, because there's no structure to the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's not true. There is a structure to the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Rabbi Gamliel says that you have to talk about Pesach Matzah Umar, you have to talk about the mitzvah of eating matzah, you have to talk about the Karban Pesach, you have to talk about the Maror in order to fulfill your mitzvah. You need to talk about the basic storyline, Reb Chaim as a whole discussion. What exactly are the details of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? He says that there needs to be a back and forth. The Mishnah says very clearly, Kana ben Shol as a Av. That's why you have the Manashtana, because it has to be in a question-answer format. You have to go through every single detail of the Exodus in order to fulfill your mitzvah. That's why we go through all the Makos and everything that happened during the Makos. There are a number of details related to the mitzvah of and structure related to the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So why then are they saying that that's not the case? So the Maharal explains, he writes this by the Haggadah, but I think that the Abu Dram is trying to make the same point by Tefillah as well. The Maharal explains in his Gevuras Hashem, he says that what the Rashba and the Rush writes the same thing, and the Chuvas HaRush also writes this same thing. What they mean that there's no structure of Haggadah, of telling over the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, he says because the critical part is belief. We know the Haggadah tells us, Chayv Kol Adam Liros Ezatzmo Kili Yatzmi Mitzrayim, that a person is obligated to view themselves as if they're leaving Mitzrayim, explains the Maharal, and this is also fleshed out, explained further by the Prima Gadim, that the Haggadah is a set text that was put together by our sages as a means to an end, but not a means in itself. It's a means to an end to help a person get to a place of Liros Esatzmo Kilu Yatzmi Mitzrayim, of viewing oneself as if you left Mitzrayim. But that's something that happens b'moach, in machshava and belev, and in your heart. That's something that happens in your head and your mind, in your mind and in your heart and in your soul. That's not something that manifests itself in a physical fashion. The physical elements of the Haggadah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, of the night of the Seder, are all there in order to guide me in this ultimate mitzvah of viewing myself as if I'm leaving in Mitzrayim. It's an emotional experience. And that really what we're supposed to be doing is taking all the motions of the Seder and transforming them into emotions. The same the Abu Dram is saying, that's what tefillah is.
So So in other words, if the mitzvah is an emotion, you're not saying a bracha.
You're making a bracha, exactly. That's why there's no bracha on the mitzvah of emunah, right? That's what the Abu Dharam is saying, the same thing by tefillah. Tefillah is rachmana libabe, is Hashem desiring our hearts. The ikar part of tefillah, the most important part of tefillah, is kavana. Reb Chaim Kanievsky writes this as well. He says that, yes, understanding the words is important, but the words of the Shmona Esrei are really supposed to be a vehicle to have that close relationship with Hashem. Is in order to, and that's like what that was what we were just trying to bring out for why that first part of Shmona Esrei is so critical. Because the first part of Shmona Esrei sets the tone for the whole thing. The rest of Shmona Esrei, even if I don't understand the words, I still fulfill my mitzvah. Because at least I have set in motion this concentration, this intentionality of Hashem is the Gibor, Hashem is the Baal Chesed, Hashem is the one who's MS, represents MS, that when I have that, so I'm already on my way to having this experience of Hashem at that moment that I use to fulfill my mitzvah of tefillah. That's why there's no bracha associated with it, because there is because it's really supposed to be that emotional experience. Supposed to be that emotional experience. I want to now jump right into our Shmona Esrei.
Quick question: you were saying that of the bracha was from something Friday night. What was that specifically that you were referring to?
We say on Friday night, we quote from David HaMelech as part of Kabbalah Shabbos. We say, Mizmor leDavid havu laHashem b'nei Elim, that we bring before you Hashem b'nei Elim, the people that were the mightiest people to ever live on this world, and that's referring to the forefathers. Yeah, meaning we're bringing before you what they represented, what they represented. We begin our Shmona Esrei with the verse from Tehillim of Adonai Sfatai Tiftach Ufi Agid Tilatecha. That we say, Hashem, please open up my lips in order so I can give your praise. And we start our Shmona Esrei in this fashion because it's daunting standing in front of Hashem. As we just described Hashem, he's the master of the universe, the greatest Baal Chesed, the one that represents MS. Represents truth, and you know, standing there as just a mortal in front of God is a rather daunting thing. So that's why we begin our Shmona Esrei by saying, Hashem, please, Hashem, Sfasai Tiftach, help me open my mouth, Ufiyagi Tilatecha, so that I can sing your praises. Rashi on that pasuk in Tehillim writes, he says, that David HaMelech actually was saying before Hashem that, that when he was saying this pasuk, it was actually him doing a form of teshuvah, that he was saying before Hashem, Macholi, please forgive me, because if I'm going to come before you with all these sins, I know I'm not going to be able to do it. It's too daunting. How can I talk with God when I know I've used my mouth for Lashon Hara, for example? How could I even use that mouth for davening? How could I talk to you? It's so embarrassing. So Rashi understands that what David HaMelech was saying, he was saying, Macholi, please forgive me, v'yeli pischon peh, because then if you forgive me, I'll be able to open my mouth, lahagid tilasecha, to give your praises. That's the way Rashi understood it. It was a form of teshuvah. The Metzudas David and the Sforno say it a little bit differently, where they say that David HaMelech understood that this Shmona Esrei needs to be a good Shmona Esrei, because otherwise I'm not going to be able to encourage other people. Meaning David HaMelech was a leader. He was charged as being a melech and being a leader for the Jewish people and being a role model for everybody. How is he going to be able to encourage teshuva for everybody else, to encourage self-growth and connectivity with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he himself is unable to connect with Hashem. And that's why he says, Hashem svasai tiftach ufiyagiti lasecha. Help me, Hashem, make this Shmona Esrei as impactful as possible for me, so that way I become a changed person, I become a more elevated person that's able to encourage others. That's what he was saying. The Ibn Ezra says, and the Radak, right, probably the most basic explanation, the one that probably most of us relate to when we say this line of Hashem svasai tiftach ufiyagiti lasecha. The Ibn Ezra writes, he says, simply, ta'azreini lahagiti lasecha, Hashem, assist me. This is, I want to do this right. I want to do this right. Like the Kuzari said, everything in my life was leading up till right now, and everything that's going to be in my life after this point is going to be affected by right now. I want to make sure I do this right. Hashem, can you please help me make this Shmona Esrei as good as possible? And that's, I think, the way most people relate to this line of Hashem, svasai tiftach, please help me open my mouth, lahagiti lasecha, to give proper praise of you. I'm just a mere mortal. How do I know how to do this? So I need your help. The same way that this is what the Radak goes on, explains a little further, the same way that the tefillah was composed with a Ruach HaKodesh, it was composed with a higher understanding of God. I'm asking you, Hashem, please assist me in getting a little bit of that, so that way I can make the Shmona Esrei as impactful as possible. I think having all three of these aspects in mind is important when we're walking into our Shmona Esrei. Number one is, we say Hashem svasai tiftach ufiyagila tilatecha. One thing we can have in mind, these are practical things we could have in mind. Number one is, Hashem, please forgive me of everything that happened till this point. Let's start fresh right now, in order so that I can have this moment with you. Number two is Hashem svasai tiftach ufiyagiti lasecha. That Hashem, I know that I, just like David HaMelech, have the ability to have an impact on other people properly. And if that's the case, I know that this Shmona Esrei can play a role in that. So Hashem, please, as I start the Shmona Esrei, please help me make this Shmona Esrei as impactful as good as possible. So that way, when I'm going to be in a place of being a role model for other people, I can help them as well have these moments of connectivity with you. And number three is very simply put that this is a very, very significant moment right now. I don't know every single way of connecting with you. I'm not a Navi. I'm not one of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, but I'm using their words, Hashem, can you please help me understand you better, so that way this Shmona Esrei can be as real of a conversation as possible. The Gemara in Brachos, though, brings up an interesting halachic issue with this line of Hashem svasai tiftach ufiyagiti lasecha, that we say to Hashem before we begin our Shmona Esrei, help me, you know, whatever the intention. We just went through three explanations, but we gave this line of Hashem svasai tiftach ufiyagiti lasecha before we actually begin Shmona Esrei. There's a halacha that's brought up a few times in the Gemara in Brachos, on Daf Dalet, on Daf Tes, a few times in the Gemara of we have to be somech geula l'tefila. The last blessing of the blessings of the Shema is Baruch Atah Hashem, Goal Yisrael, that Hashem is the Redeemer of the Jewish people. That blessing of Goal Yisrael is supposed to go immediately into our Shmona Esrei when we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, etc. Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. That our Shmona Esrei is supposed to be as closely connected as possible to that blessing of Goal Yisrael. And there's a number of halachic implications of that. That's why we don't say Amen when we hear the Chazan say the blessing of Goal Yisrael, in order that there's no break between that blessing of Goal Yisrael and the Shmona Esrei. So if that's the case, then what gives us the right to say Hashem svasai tiftach ufiyagiti lasecha if it was not part of the original composition of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah? So if it's not, you know, it's not beginning with Baruch, it's not beginning with the blessing itself, then that would seem to constitute a break. So says the Gemara, no, not a problem. The language the Gemara uses is that it's kitfila arichta damya. It's like a long davening, meaning that we've just extended davening. We extended it by a line. But I understand, well, how did we just extend? So we extend davening with that one line, and therefore it's like it's part of the Shmoneh Esrei, so it's not a break. But why should this be considered part of the Shmoneh Esrei if it's not starting with Baruch Atah Hashem? Meaning, if we're starting Shmoneh Esrei, we should start Shmoneh Esrei. But we're not starting Shmoneh Esrei. We're starting with this prologue of Hashem Sfasai Tiftah. So Reb Chaim Freelander once again explains so beautifully that, as we mentioned before, when we're in our Shmoneh Esrei, we're standing in front of Hashem. Mom is standing in front of Hashem. Standing in front of Hashem is a very daunting thing. It's a very daunting thing. And therefore, we may have stage fright. We may be uncomfortable being in that kind of a vulnerable state with Hashem, the master of the universe. It's I'm just a mere mortal. I know I've done things I'm kind of embarrassed about to in front of Hashem. I mean, it's could be a rather heavy task of davening when we actually know what it is. So he says that, if you think of all stage fright or people being nervous to have conversations, it's not that they are unsure of what to say, but rather it's just that the person that they're speaking in front of or the audience that they're going to be addressing is something that's making them nervous. So that's why we begin our Shmoneh Esrei by saying, I know what I have to say before you, Hashem, but I'm just nervous. And so therefore, I just want to start by saying, Hashem Sfasai Tiftach Ufi Agdil Asecha, just help me accomplish what do I need to accomplish right now, right? And once we do that, it eases the tension. That's why it's Ketfila Arichta. I can't even start the Shmoneh Esrei until I've done that. Because once I've done that, then I'm able, once the tensions are, or once the nerves have calmed down, so then I'm able to start my Shmoneh Esrei.
Is there a different one before Musa? Slightly different.
We'll have to get to that. Yeah, that's what actually a point of contention. There's a lot of people that actually don't say it. They just say Hashem Sfasai Tiftach. Yeah. And the Reb Chaim Freelander points out from the Yaros Devash, the Yaros Devash was Reb Yonas and Eibshitz Zatzal. Reb Yonas and Eibshitz points out that the word Adonai Tzvatai Tiftachu Fi Agit Tilatecha, using that particular description of God as Adonai, he says is has the contained within the word is, if you break down the word of Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, and you spell out each of the letters, the numerical value of the letter of the word Aleph, of the word Dalet, the word Nun, the word Yud altogether is 671, is the same gematria as Sha'ar, as gate, as essentially what we're saying before Hashem is Pishuli Sha'ar Tzedek Avovam Odeka. We're asking Hashem that our lips should be able to open up the gates of Shemayim, meaning that until the gates of Shemayim are opened up, then I'm very nervous to be able to, like, how do I know I'm even welcome to be able to come? We say Hashem, meaning Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, Adonai, Sfatai, Tiftach, allow my lips to open up the gates of heaven in order so that I'm able to come in and pray before you.
So the gematria is gates, or is the gematria
Gate. Yeah. Sha'ar. Shin Ayin Resh. Sha'ar is the same gematria as Aleph, the word Aleph, the word Dalet, the word Nun, the word Yud coming together is 671, is the same gematria as Sha'ar, as gate. As we say it before Hashem, Niftach Sha'ar, that you should open up the gates. With my lips should be able to open up the gates of tefillah, of davening. So, and by the way, this concept of like, where it's mamish, like we're standing in front of Hashem, actually has halachic implications of that. The Shulchan Aruch tells me in Simen Kuf Beis that if someone's davening the Shmoneh Esrei, I'm not allowed to walk in front of them within four amos. So within, 8 feet of somebody, I'm not allowed to walk in front of them if they're davening their Shmoneh Esrei. That's why if somebody has a very long Shemoneh Esrei, better that they stand in front of a wall, so that way nobody is going to pass in front of them. But why, right? So the Mishnah Berurah explains the reason for this is because they are that it's going to make a break between them and the Shekhinah. It's going to be mafsik beinem ulbein haShekhinah. It's going to make a break between them and Hashem's presence. And that means that we treat this like a real reality, that it's mamash like you're standing in front of Hashem, to the point that if somebody walks between you, it's like you're walking between two people having a conversation. It's mamash getting in the middle, right? Well, Hashem is everywhere, but it's like we're standing in front of Hashem. Like we're really standing in front of Hashem. So as we'll just do a quick review, we pointed out that the reason why that first bracha Shemoneh Esrei is so important is because it frames for us the rest of Shemoneh Esrei. It gives us an understanding of just of the fact that really our tefillah, everything in our lives is up to Hashem. He's the greatest Baal Chesed. He's also the mightiest, and he's also Emes. And all of those things coming together, and if I really believe it and I really have that proper intentionality to believe it, so then the rest of my Shemoneh Esrei is going to be impacted directly from that. And it's going to give me the ability to have that emotional connection with Hashem I'm supposed to have, to be able to have that vulnerable moment with God and daven properly. Once I've set myself properly with that first paragraph of Shemoneh Esrei, we pointed out from the Abu Dram, that's why there's no bracha on Shemoneh Esrei, because it is a means to an end of having that deep connection, having that deep connection with God. That we start our Shemoneh Esrei by saying Hashem Sfasai Tiftach Ufiyagi Tilatecha. It's not considered a break in our Shemoneh Esrei between the blessing of Gal Yisrael and the Shemoneh Esrei. It's a tefillah arichta because it gives me the ability to even daven. And what we're saying before Hashem at that moment are really three things. We're saying before Hashem that I am not sure if I'm even worthy of standing before you. Please, Hashem, forgive me so that way I can daven properly. Number two is that how am I going to be able to become a changed person that can have a proper impact on others if I'm not going to have this moment with you, Hashem? Please, Hashem, allow me to have this moment of tefillah impact me so that way I can have a proper impact on others. And number three is just simply that how do I even know how to talk to you, right? You're so beyond everything. You're infinite. So therefore, Hashem, can you please, the same way you did for the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, give them the proper insight to know how to connect with you. Please, Hashem, give me the proper insight to know how to connect with you. Once we've done that, so once we've said Hashem Svasai Tiftach, and really believe it within ourselves, so then it eases the tension. It takes away the stage fright, if you will, to be able to connect with the divine, with the infinite, with Hashem Yisbarach, with the greatest Baal Chesed, with the Gibor, with the mightiest, and with the one who represents all truth, that of Emes. That is the way we start our Shemoneh Esrei, with that line of Hashem Svasai Tiftach, to set the tone for us as we get into that first paragraph of Shemoneh Esrei, which really gives us the ability to have the proper intention that the rest of our Shemoneh Esrei is going to, that we need for the rest of our Shemoneh Esrei. So what we're going to do next week, God willing, next week, we will pick up where we left off with going into more detail about the first paragraph of Shemoneh Esrei, getting into understanding not only the words, but the concepts that we're trying to bring out in that initial praise of God that's found in that first blessing of Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, we'll stop here. Take care, everyone.
Thank you. Thanks, Rabbi.
Of course. Take care, everybody. See you next week.